Okay, this is the time in our service when we're going to go into the 2 minute silence and a time of remembrance, where we remember those who've given their lives in war and conflict. We're also going to remember those who are currently serving in conflicts across the world today. So we're going to pray, and then we'll have our 2 minute silence, and we'll finish the 2 minute silence with the last post. And I just thought it might be nice if we actually had. We prayed together rather than just me praying. So I'm going to read some sentences and then I'll pause after each sentence. And then if we could all say together, may God give them peace. Okay, so just may God give them peace. So let's pray. We remember the servicemen and women who have died in the violence of war. And for those who love them, we offer our grief and sadness for their loss. May God give them peace. For all members of the armed forces who are in danger on this day, we remember them, their family, and their friends who all pray for their safe return. In peace. For all civilian men, women, and children whose lives are forever changed by war and terror, may God give them peace. For the peacekeepers and the peacemakers who work to keep our world secure and free, may God give them peace. For the world leaders, political, military, and religious, we ask for the gift of wisdom as they work towards reconciliation. May God give them peace. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. The last few weeks, we've lost a couple of our fellowship, which is really, really sad. And I just felt at the beginning of the week it would be good that we just share some memories of them. I see Sue came in. I don't know where she's sitting, but Bob passed away a few weeks. And Matt's just going to come and share very briefly some memories. And then Rachel and Ruth are just going to come and share some memories of Angela, who passed away this week.
Just two very quick things from Bob, and there's going to be more, which Mike's going to explain a bit later. With Bob, there was just the most beautiful moment, wasn't there, in hospital together, where what did Bob say the evening I came to see you? I am happy. And he really meant it, didn't he? He really meant it. He knew he was going to be with Jesus. Just an incredible thing. One other quick little thing. There's going to be a lot more on the Saturday when we come together. Good memories. But one more quick thing on Bob. We started a Bible study together in Bob and Sue's home. And 1 week I said to Bob, I said, all right, me and Matt have done a couple. You're going to do it next week. He said, what? He said, I can't do that. And he did it. And it was fantastic, wasn't it? Absolutely brilliant.
Okay. Rachel and Ruth.
What do you say about Angela? Angela, we met 23 years ago when Mike and I and our family came to Preach With A View, and she hosted us, or Aaron John obviously hosted us. That, for me, is the epitome of Angela, her hospitality, that she welcomed us. She welcomed our children so much more. They were made to feel so welcome. Maybe that was a small influence in why we came. Perhaps more than a small influence, really. And I think, for me, that is one of her abiding memories. There was always an extra place at Angela's table for someone. If anyone was on the edge, she would welcome them in. and her fun and her love of games and love of jokes. Sometimes they didn't always pay off, but they often did. But also her abiding faith. 60 plus years she followed God. I remember mostly her prayers. She prayed the most special prayers at just the right time. God used her in that way.
One of the things that I loved and admired most about Angela was her amazing ability to draw alongside people who were dying. She knew what to say and what to do. And when I joined the visiting team, we often went out together, and she brought such comfort for people. It was just a real gift from God that she had. And I believe it was because of her faith, and she had a total belief that she would, that there is life after death, and that she would meet with Jesus again, and that other people who knew Jesus would also be able to have that ability to have a life after death, a better life. And so for us, the comfort is that she is now with Jesus, her Saviour. And as Rachel said, that she's served for so many years. But just one other thing. Many of you know that she and I were card partners, and we used to play cards regularly. I don't know if there's cards in heaven, and I'm not saying there is or isn't, but I just hope that if there is, she finds a good partner who'll play with her.
Thank you for that. And it is really tough to share that, particularly. There have been lots of tears this week with Angela passing. My memory of Angela was first coming to church 8 years ago, sitting down there, and this lady bounding up and sitting right in my eye line saying, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" For those of you who knew Angela, that was probably her, and she was very mischievous and very loving. And it is very sad, but as we've said, she's with her God now. She struggled hard, but she's with her God, and that is something to rejoice, that this is not the end. And you know, if you don't know Jesus, that's such an important thing, is that if you do, when you pass from this life, you will be with Jesus, which is just something so great. So thank you, ladies. Thank you for those memories. Dave, firstly, a big thanks to Dave. He stepped in fairly last minute to share with us this morning. Really appreciate that, but we always love it when Dave comes to share. And just love to pray for you while you're getting yourself set up, Dave.
All right, yeah.
Father, we thank you that we can gather as your family. We thank you that you are with us, and just pray as we stand here that you will talk through Dave. He's a great guy. But I'm just thinking, just talk through Dave. Maybe not see Dave in the nicest possible way, but maybe hear something from you. May each person just hear from you through the words that Dave is going to share. Just lead him now. Just bless him. Amen.
Amen. Hello. All right? Nice to see you. I always say it, but you are a good-looking bunch, particularly this side. Today, we are going to continue in our series around identity in Jesus, and I've got the tiny subject of exploring meaning and purpose in the next 17 minutes, so we'll nail that bad boy by the time we've finished. However, I think as we do kind of talk and explore all these subjects that we've been looking at, I do want you to hear this right from the beginning. This is something which I've landed on as I finish this talk, and I think I've picked up on from all the other talks as well, is that you personally have phenomenal importance to God. And today I'm not going to tell you any different to that. You have phenomenal importance to the Lord Jesus. So hold that in your hearts as we explore this next little bit. So I'm going to tell you a little bit from the scriptures about this interaction that Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, had with Jesus himself. And it's in Matthew 16. It says this. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he questioned his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "What about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I will tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Big, big stuff. Okay. So here's a quick question. Who knows who this is? Shout out if you know. Rachel? Keely Hawes. This is Keely Hawes. Lovely lady. She's an actress, if you don't know. She's quite famous, actually. She's probably been on quite a lot of the shows that you might have seen on telly. She was in a show called The Bodyguard. She was on Spooks years ago. She's had a quite a varied career, quite a big career. But I have a very special relationship with this lady, okay? So we share the same birthday, 10th of February. But more than that, we actually share the same birthday, 10th of February 1976. I know I don't look it, neither does she. 46 years old we are. Aren't we lovely, Keely? Right. Sorry, I did that at home by myself. I wasn't meant to do it. Now, I only found out this recently, but it did come up, like this question came to me, how did she end up there and I ended up here with you lot? I've had exactly the same amount of time on earth as this woman. And this has been quite an interesting journey of discovery for me, right? Because I started investigating, I'm not sure if it's okay to do, but I started investigating Keely. And I want to share with you, it's got a name, it doesn't have to be stalking, it's investigation, right? So I looked up her wiki page. If everyone's familiar with Wikipedia, here's the first few, like, she's got a little, you can click on her wiki page, because it's got various bits. Hawes was born at St Mary's Hospital in London. I also was born near London, and she grew up in a council flat in Marylebone. She's the youngest of four children. Hawes attended Sylvia Young Theatre School, where she became friends with the singer Emma Bunton, who was in the Spice Girls, for those who don't know. In her teenage years, she worked in various part-time jobs, including a casino, Sainsbury's and McDonald's. While in sixth form, she was approached in Oxford Street by a modelling scout and signed up by Select Model Management. After numerous features for teen magazine Shout, Hawes became a fashion intern for Cosmopolitan. During this period, she was first asked to audition for a film. Hawes first came into the public eye in the 1990s, having supporting roles in Troublemakers, Dennis Potter's Karaoke, Heartbeat and The Beggar Bride. Hawes' first film role was in the 1998 film The Avengers. Right, it's probably helpful to note at this point that I don't have my own wiki page. Although I do want one. Right, so if anyone... I think you can write them for other people. So I quite like my own. So you have got full permission. I'm giving you full permission. And anyone who's listening to this on the podcast, you've got full permission to write one for me. So this chunk of the wiki page of Dear Old Keely's website is the first 22 years of life. So I thought, what would my wiki page look like for the first 22 years of life? So I wrote my own, right? So it goes like this. David James Kingswood was born at Epsom Hospital and grew up in a Pebble Dash Terrace house in North Cheam. He's the oldest of two children. Kingswood attended Cheam High School after failing the 11 plus and became friends with Roland Hadley, who could burp the national anthem. In his teenage years, he worked in various part-time jobs, including a sports shop in which he confesses he knew nothing about sport. He had a paper round and started his own garden business, where he seldom gardened but listened to old ladies' stories for money. Whilst in the equivalent of sixth form at college, he was not approached by anybody in Oxford Street to do modelling, and the only thing he signed up for was a ski trip to northern Italy. After no features in Teen Magazine Shout, David grew a beautiful mullet. That's true. During this period, David was asked if he could do some modelling for a local art class for £3 an hour. He was asked to pop his clothes on the stall for £4 an hour, which he politely declined. His first supporting role was as a keyboard player in the high school production of a play you can't remember, where the machine was unplugged because he hadn't practised the song. Kingswood's film role was his first film role was through his new camera, and in 1998 he was writing computer code to control Microsoft Excel and wondered where his life was headed. Keely, how have you done so much with your life? And I have managed to do so little. Oh, 22 years. Do you ever get that? That horrendous journey of comparison? How was it that some people seem to know who they are and where they're going from so early in their life? Why was I not bestowed with that wonderful gift of driven simplicity? It's funny, though. Keely's story isn't all roses, right? Not from the get-go. She's been through divorce. She's openly spoken about periods of depression and anxiety, because we're all just human, aren't we? We all go through stuff. Matt Craddock last week said something really interesting that stuck with me. He said, the value that I have is what somebody else puts on me. So the question then is, who am I listening to? Who is giving me value? What's my meaning? What's my purpose? Where's my life headed? Now, as I reflect over my life, I can honestly say when I have tried to find meaning by comparing myself to others, it's always just gone down the pan. It just never figures itself out. Because my life is unique. It's like a fingerprint. It has its own shape. And particularly, I can testify to that, the peculiarness of my shape. I could want to be another shape, but it would be a lie. I either accept that, or I spend my life wanting to be somewhere else. So how do we make sure that we find our own purpose and our own meaning? So I read this week, and I guess maybe this is particularly pertinent as we celebrate the lives of people who have gone to be with Jesus this week. I read about the five most common things people wish for as they reflected in that last little bit of their life. Number one says this: I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Secondly, I wish I didn't work so hard. Third, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings about stuff. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. And I wish I'd let myself be happier. Five things that commonly come up amongst people who are about to die. I think these statements are fascinating. All of them are about a better connection to myself and who I am, and who I am with those close to me, those people that I interact with. You know what these things tell me? I think it's about whether, if we let other people dictate our meaning and purpose, we're going to end up regretting some or all of our lives. If we let other people do it. When I was 15, I became a Christian, and the first thing I can remember God saying to me was this very clear statement. He said, "You are my son, and I love you. You are my son, and I love you." And you know, it's taken me a good few years to realize that that exact phrase holds enormous importance in my life. You see, since I left IT in my 20s and 30s, I've been headed down this road of trying to find my meaning and my purpose. And it is a long and peculiar road, and it is full of mistakes where I should have turned right rather than left. But at the moment, I'm going to run you through what I currently do with my time. It's weird what I do with my time. I'm going to run you through it now. Here's a breakdown, right? So 2 days a week, I work for a charity called Home for Good, which is a fostering adoption charity, and it champions Christians to come around kids who need loving homes, and it helps churches come around those families who choose to do so. 1 day a week, I look after the Invest program, which some of you will be aware of, and this is particularly about helping people to grow in their Christian character, mission, and leadership. I do 2 to 3 shifts at a restaurant which focuses on simple produce bringing extraordinary flavours, and my role is to help people have a good time and encounter new and interesting food where they would not expect to find it. And I also share Jesus with my colleagues, although that wasn't on my job description when I signed up. Hello, Mark, if you're listening. That's the head chef. He said he might listen if it's not too long, right? Hello, mate. I also spend some hours a week supporting Carly in her business, my wife, of helping families navigate early trauma, and also running our business therapy at the farm where we sublet rooms to counsellors and other therapists. I'm also part of the eldership here at Welton. I help lead with a wonderful team navigating this church with Jesus, and I also look after teaching on a Sunday morning. You're thinking, why does he do that? I'm a trustee of a organisation called the Social Pedagogy Development Network, and it's a charity which seeks to build and champion relationships as key to how healthy society is built and issues, societal issues, are dealt with. I'm also with a wonderful team currently giving a lead to Sunday morning energy groups at the moment, and I am dad to a few kids. What an eclectic mix, you might think. What a peculiar man. I'm a peculiarity. I am quite an interesting shape. But you know, when I look at all of this, And it's taken a long time to put this week together. But it's fascinating because whenever I look at this list, and I ask this question regularly, what deserves to stay and what deserves to go, right? I realise my mission or my meaning and my purpose is tied up intrinsically with all this stuff that I've just listed there. You see, what really lights me up is helping people to realise, to know that they are incredible and that they are worth investing in, and either doing that directly with people or helping others to do it instead. I am trying to learn that whatever I do in life, I am learning that my meaning and my purpose is in that one sentence that God told to me, "You're my son and I love you. And I want you to hear, you are God's daughter, you are God's son and he loves you." And I'm trying to figure out all kinds of creative ways in different spheres to say that you are worth investing in, that you are loved. Oh. And also, by the way, if you want a litmus test, if you start getting emotional about the stuff that lights you up, I think you're in the right hole. All of this stuff, regardless of how weird it looks like on paper, I can assure you there are golden threads that run through all this stuff. And I have built this week with friends like Matt and others, asking that question, what deserves to go? What deserves to stay? What lights me up and what lights Jesus up? Because my sonship is in that place that I operate and I'm centered around. So I want you to hear this sentence. What lights you up will be what lights Jesus up about you. So brothers and sisters, I cannot emphasize this enough. Do not let other people's expectations dictate your meaning and your purpose. Let Jesus speak these things over you, and you will find your shape in the world. Do it with friends. Do it with people that you love. But always do it with that third of Jesus being in the room as you investigate and figure out what that stuff is. You don't understand, Dave, you might say. I've made too many mistakes. I have gone right too many times rather than left. I messed up that relationship. I messed up that opportunity. I should have taken the job. I didn't have the guts to do that. You know what, though? When I read the Bible and I understand what good dads are like, they don't give up on their kids. Good dads don't give up on their kids. They love them and they meet them exactly where they are and they restore them when the time is right. So I want to go back to our friend Peter in the scriptures. And he was the exact embodiment of someone who was given one of the greatest tasks of meaning and purpose on earth. I will build my church on you. No one gets that gig. Nope. he got given that. We read at the beginning that Peter was the first person who asked these words about who Jesus was and is. And Jesus gives him this huge task to build the church. What a mission. What a purpose. But then, a bit later on, we read that Peter publicly denies Jesus three times at the crucifixion. How'd you come back from that? How'd you come back from someone saying, here's your meaning and your purpose, and then you stuff up like that? Well, it turns out it happens in a conversation. It says this in John 21. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Jesus," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yeah, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" At this point, Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said, follow me. A reinstatement. A putting back to this man's meaning and purpose in his life. A terrible thing happened, and yet God brought him back to who he was meant to be and where he was headed. His mission was there in the beginning, and Jesus gave it to him. And nothing had changed, despite the fact that he'd messed up. I want you to hear this. You are not... Oh. You are not the worst thing you've ever done. You're not. Jesus' purpose and mission for you is not based on that thing that happened. Got to reclaim that. So, let me ask you, what are you doing here? What's your meaning? What's your purpose? Where are you headed? What golden threads are running through your life? What connects you to what God is saying to you, not just about you? Do you need to be reinstated? Do you need a Peter conversation? Do you need to stop comparing yourself? Or maybe you've come in this place today and you say, I don't know about any of this. I don't know where I bring anything. I don't know where I'm headed. Tomorrow looks like yesterday, and yesterday was rubbish. Well, I want you to look at those words, because the very last thing that Jesus says to Peter after he is reinstated is, follow me. This is business to be done with Jesus, for you to find out who you are and where you're headed. So, my simple hope and prayer is that when you come to those last moments before you get taken home by God, that you will have no regrets. And you will say that you lived being you and who God made you to be. You know, if anything about this has like struck you today, I would love to pray with you. There'll be others. But this week, if you don't know where you're headed and what God is saying, start figuring it out. I would love to journey that with you. I know others would as well. Because I tell you one thing that lights me up in all that craziness that I do is that I started to find where my meaning and purpose was. And I'd love to do that with you too. Amen.
Coming, please don't rush off. There's coffee, there's cakes. And at the back, we've got some plans of what the proposed chapel refurb is going to look like. And I and a number of the other team would love to chat with you, and the prayer team will be around to pray about it. It's important that we kind of put the whole thing into prayer context as we move forward, but please do stay. Just a couple of notes for the diary. Bob's celebration service will be held here next Saturday, the 19th, I think it is, at 12 noon. And everyone is welcome and invited to that. And the funeral service for Angela will be held on the 2nd of December at Hakeham at 12:15. That is by invite only, unfortunately, because of numbers. But then there will be a service of celebration at St John's Church in Chilcompton at 1:30 on the 2nd, where again, all are invited. So thank you for being here, Karen.
So thank you all for coming today. I really hope that and pray that you feel that you have met with Jesus while you've been here and have something that you can take with you into the week. So we'd just like to close the service with a prayer. So let's pray. God, grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, and for all people to strive towards living in unity and peace and finding their meaning and purpose. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and remain with you always. Amen.